We now present Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith.
These words spake Jesus, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, in Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now these are three verses from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And remember now, this is really the Lord's Prayer. The other prayer we pray, our Father who art in heaven, is a prayer he taught his disciples to pray. And strictly speaking, that was the prayer he taught. But in the 17th chapter of John is a prayer he prayed. It's a wonderful prayer our Lord prayed to the Father. Now he said, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. Now all power is given to Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and in earth. There isn't a bird that sings that doesn't sing with the permissive or directive will of God. There isn't a man that walks this earth that doesn't get his strength from Jesus Christ. All power is given to him. Now, wait a minute. You say God has all power, Jesus has all power. Why should that thing go on like that? I can't answer that, except I could argue with you about it. I could say to you that God made man with a free will. And man wouldn't be a man if he didn't have a free will. God, as I see it, couldn't be responsible for man going to hell. First man and woman God ever made, he created them. They were perfect people. They had to be perfect. They had to have a free will to be perfect. If they hadn't had the power of choice, they wouldn't have been a perfect man, wouldn't have been a perfect woman. They had the power to choose right and wrong. They were free moral agents. And God put them in a garden and told them what would be the consequence of their wrongdoing. Now, he had power to blot them out, but it wasn't his will to do it. He put them there, talked to them, communed with them. They deliberately disobeyed God and brought a curse on the human race. Now, man today is free to choose Jesus Christ if he wants to. Whosoever will may come. That's clearly taught in the Bible. Somebody said, well, I think if he's not elected, he won't come. Now, wait just a minute. That's none of your business. Whether God elects them or doesn't elect them is none of my business. I'm not going to delve into the business of Almighty God. My business is to say, whosoever will may come. That's in the Bible clearly. So I go out and say, if you want to be saved, you can be saved. Jesus Christ looked out and said, ye will not come to me, ye might have life. They can come if they want to come. Now you can say that God makes them want to come if you want to. That's up to you to put it any way you want to try to argue your point. I'm not discussing that with you. I find out that the trouble and friction and misunderstanding, all of it comes about, in a way, from the fact that people are trying to be smart, see? Now, when you talk to me about election, foreordination, predestination, all those things, you've moved into a realm where I can't go. Almighty God's on the throne of this universe. He's infinite in wisdom. But I do know that anybody that wants to be saved can be saved, and that's all I need to know. If a man goes to hell, anybody listening to me today dies in sin and goes to hell, you just don't have to go. And if you're going, when you get out there in hell, just look up at God and tell him that you take responsibility that you didn't have to go. If you want to go to heaven, you can go to heaven. Now, that's clear. That's definite. Now, let's understand that. Jesus Christ has all authority. There is no such a thing as a will that isn't the will of God. God Almighty sits on the throne of this universe. Jesus Christ is his Son whom he committed all authority. He has power to blot out the universe. He has power to let sinners live on. Live on. He's a long-suffering God according to the Bible. He has all power. Now, Jesus Christ said, all power is given to me over all flesh. Now, there's such a thing as what we've told you so many times, is a directive and permissive will of God. The directive will. Now, there are very few people that live under the directive will of God. Most of the human race live under the permissive will of God. God will let you go to hell if you want to go. God will let you lie if you want to lie. God will let you steal if you want to steal. God will let you be a murderer if you want to be a murderer, but you'll have to take the consequences. He'll let you if you want to. God Almighty doesn't run roughshod over the citadel of the human will. Now, that's clearly taught in the Bible. When you think about Jesus Christ when he's on this earth, looked out and said, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. You hear his voice crying, come to me all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He's inviting all people to come. You have an invitation. You don't have to be lost. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. Somebody said, well, I don't want to go to hell. Well, you won't have to go if you don't want to go. I don't want to be a sinner. You don't have to be unless you want to be. Jesus Christ is able to save unto the uttermost all who come to God by him. That's clearly taught in his word. Now, I said, thou hast given him power. The Lord Jesus Christ has power over all flesh. That he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. All right? Now, every man, woman, boy, or girl who wants eternal life can have it. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to be a sinner. You don't have to die without God. If you want to be saved, Jesus Christ will save you. Do you think that you'd be willing to die to do something and then wouldn't do it? If you want to do something enough to die to do the thing, don't you think you'd do it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ wanted to save you enough to die for you. He was willing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat like drops of blood. He is willing to sob out his heart in agony. He's willing to go up on that hilltop and hang there in a mangled, bloody form and suffer all the agonies of the damned so you could be saved. And you tell me you don't think he'll save you? Huh. You know he'll save you. Why, ordinary common sense will tell you that. If you want to do something that bad, wouldn't you do it if you had a chance? Lord wants to save you. Now, he said, I give unto them his eternal life as many as I've given me. Now, he's talking to his Father. And he's God's Son, God's only begotten Son. Oh, God has many sons and many daughters, but Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He's our brother. We're joint heirs with him. He's our Savior. He's our Lord. We're in the family. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. All right. Now, he said, I have all this power. You've given it to me. Now, listen. And this is life eternal. He makes it plain what it is. What is life eternal? That they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now that's clear. Now they have to know thee as the only true God. There are many gods. Some people make home their God. It's all right to love your home. It ought to be a sacred spot to you. But it isn't God. Some people make an ordinance God. See? An ordinance God. Some people may make orthodoxy their God, or the Bible their God. The Bible's not God. The Bible tells us about God, and who God is, and our relation to God. Now, you have only one God, and that God is Lord God Almighty and Jesus Christ, his Son. The only true, he says here. Now, eternal life is knowing the only true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our Lord's talking to his Father. He's praying. Now, listen just a minute. You better be sure about this situation. Some people, you can talk to them, and the first thing they say to you, if you ask them, are you a Christian? Yes. Oh, yes, I'm a Methodist, or Baptist, or Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Nazarene. Oh, yes. Wait a minute. Why do you always bring that in? That doesn't belong in there. That doesn't belong in there. Why, according to most of the positions of these churches, they believe you ought to be a Christian before you join. Well, you ought to have been a Christian before you joined. You could say, yes, I trusted the Lord a number of years ago, and the following Lord's Day, I joined the church and was baptized. That's all right, see. But the first thing most people will tell you, they jump right in and tell you about the church. Now, wait a minute. Nothing wrong in the church. The church is a body of Jesus Christ. And there's nothing wrong in organized Christianity. Except when organized Christianity becomes dominant in your thinking. Instead of God Almighty being first, that's the way they go. All over the country today, all the talks you have, these conventions, it's church. That's not the Bible. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. It's the head. He gives the orders, see? And you can look at the body and not see the head. And if you see the head, you'll see the body like you ought to see it. But you can look at the body and never look at the head. You have organized Christianity around the world with crimes and deserted prayer meetings and empty pews on Sunday night, and all the vices and cocktail parties and all that going on, you know. Oh, God help us to see it. The trouble is we've got away from the right emphasis. And this is life eternal, Jesus said, that they might know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Now, he said, that's life eternal. You know God, the only true God. Now, our Lord's praying. He's praying this prayer, man. It's his prayer. He's talking to the Lord, his Father. Now, he said, eternal life is what? It's knowing the only true God. God's first. God's first. If he isn't first, you're lost. The thing that's first in your life is your God. You can have a false God. You can have a good God. You can make your home first. Your home can become bigger than God to you. Your church can become bigger than God to you. Listen, your baby can become bigger than God to you. Nothing wrong in those things. It's all right to love your home and your church and love your baby. And there's nothing wrong there. But when those things dominate you instead of God, well, you just have an idol, that's all. You're an idolater, that's all. If God isn't first, then you have an idol. You have another God. The only true God, not two or three or four of them, just one. You are not right until God the Almighty is first and Jesus Christ his Son. Because you couldn't get to God except through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So if you get to God, you come with Jesus. Now, he said, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. That's life eternal. Now, the Lord told you. It's clear. He's telling God in his prayer. Now, that's eternal life, if you know God, if he's first, the only true God. You trust Jesus Christ as your only Savior. And you're there, then you have eternal life. Oh, wonderful, wonderful, that any humble, ordinary, everyday, practical man and woman can have eternal life. Life that is in God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, our Heavenly Father. Help us to be real. Help us to be genuine. Don't let us be phonies. Don't let us go along here, flatter ourselves, then come up someday and say, Lord, we cast out devils in thy name, did wonderful things, said, I never knew you. Help us to be all we ought to be, faithful in all things. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have just heard Dr. Bob Jones, Sr., internationally known evangelist and founder of Bob Jones University, who during his earthly ministry was one of God's great warriors for the faith. This program is sponsored by Bob Jones University.